It is an honor to speak and share with you God's Word. And what I want to do is really progress a bit further in the topic that I kind of scratched the surface on a few weeks ago, so which is about how to fight the battle. Now, I did like this last week, I think it was last time, so get your phones out, take a bunch of photos here. I've got two slides with all the references, because I get excited and I talk fast. So I got two slides of all of the scriptures that I'll be referring to at some way during this presentation. So that's one. Everybody got that slide? And can I just recommend, if you don't have a Bible reading plan, it'd be good to find one, but this week, if you don't have a Bible reading plan you're following, read through the book of Ephesians. Read through it several times, because what I found is that this is just a huge, there's so much in there that we found so helpful lately. So I'd encourage you to do that. There's some more scriptures that we'll be hitting on. All got those. So our focus last time was on how God uses trials and difficulties to produce faith, to develop us so that, as James said, so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And he was strengthening us for the battle. Remember that? That trials and challenges are not a bad thing. They're actually a growth period. And today I want to talk more about this battle that we're in, the battle that we face, because we have an enemy, don't we? The devil. The devil, and he hates God. He hates everything about God. He hates what God loves. He hates people, and he wants to destroy. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life more abundantly. And Jesus referred to Satan as a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar and the father of lies. And how many of you know, we'll talk about this in a few moments, but that is probably the main weapon that Satan uses against us, are lies, isn't it? And as Christians, we are enlisted in God's service. We are enlisted in the army. So whether you like it or not, you've been volunteered to be not on the sidelines, not just coming on Sunday morning and having some warm fuzzies and feeling good, but you've been enlisted into the battle. The battle against Satan and his forces, and out there as well as trying to attack us. And the good news is that God has given us the victory. So we're in a battle. God has given us the victory, though. And we'll talk about some of those scriptures that I shared. But I have a question for you, church. Where does victory happen? On the cross? Yeah, that's where it was purchased. Where does victory happen? In the battle, right? That's where the victory comes. I mean, you can't have victory without a fight. You can't join God in his victory without being in the battle. And that's where the victory comes. Not sitting on the couch, not sitting on the sidelines, but in the battle, in the fight. And that's why I want to take a few moments to look at how we fight to win. Make sense? Glad you came this evening. How many glad about that message, or about the hamburgers and hot dogs afterwards? Both. Okay, I'll take that answer. Now, I have to admit, though, when it comes to talking about spiritual authority and signs of wonder and things like that, I feel kind of like this guy. And really, it's because it's important to get the balance right. When you're talking about things like this, it's important to get the balance right. So those of you who don't know, I grew up in a charismatic church. You know, my parents were filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, back in the 70s during the Jesus movement. And we kind of grown up in the Assemblies of God and other non-denominational charismatic churches. And the good news is that as charismatics, and this Cornerstone is a classic charismatic church, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe that God is real, that God is relevant, that He radically changes things, and that the spiritual realm is real. Power of Satan and his demons are real. And we believe that miracles, healing, signs of wonders, all these great things that happened in the biblical times, not just in the biblical times, but they're for today. That's great, isn't it? It's not just kind of some kind of stale theological stories of 2,000 years ago, but we've seen God move in miracles today in signs and wonders. And we believe that. And if you need a miracle, come up afterwards and let's pray for one. Let's ask God and see what He does. We are all for that. But I guess the bad news is that God does these miracles and does these signs and wonders through flawed humans like us. And I think when you meld together the anointing of God and the demonstration of God's power and miracles and healings and deliverances through human frailty, through humans that have frailties, that have weaknesses, that have egos, and you get caught up in the excitement, that can lead to some silliness, right? Some error, some things that are just kind of just weird, but also to more worse things like ungodly excess, ungodly, kind of taking the glory for myself. All glory to God. Isn't this great what God's doing? There's angels flying around and there's, whoosh, whoosh, all these great things. All glory to God. But a little bit for me. You know what I'm talking about? And so that's why I kind of feel like I'm like this guy because selfishness and pride can lead to that exploitation, the manipulation, not the bad things that we've seen, kind of charismatic stuff gone wrong. And growing up in the charismatic movement, I've seen this. From the innocent, kind of more innocent, misguided weirdness. You know, you bring a friend to church and think, oh, I hope Sister Sadie doesn't show up today. She's just weird. A bit flaky, but perhaps maybe an overemphasis on certain things, you know? Not the whole counsel of Scripture, but all about this, all about, you know, this, that, or the other. But to not just the flaky, the weird, the kind of, yes, they're going to heaven, but hopefully God puts them in another section of heaven when I get there, because they're kind of weird. But to the not just flaky, but flagrant disregard for Scripture, flagrant disregard for the context of the Word. They take a Scripture and they just kind of, oh, I'll take this and I'll read through this and I'll take this one word and I'll go to some Hebrew delineation of the Word and then I'll just create a whole new theology, a whole new hierarchy, and I'll, you know what, and I'll have my, that'll be my ministry, and I'll write a book about it. I'll write a series of book about it. And you say, mate, it's not even there. So it's with that, and sometimes, and this is what we've seen as well, false teachers use the gifts of the guise of the gifts of the Spirit to push self-serving, false gospel that tickles itching ears. Oh, I have a special revelation. Oh, you know, a book that, you know, like just like one little guy named Jabez, and they write a whole book about it. It's like, what's that from? I don't get it. And so that's why I'm careful. You know, you see the pendulum, don't you? So, and this is where kind of that balance comes in, because as Christians, as Bible-believing, this is the Word of God. This is our basis for life and theology and thinking, not going to either extreme. Because some people, they go to the one extreme saying, you know, the Bible, let's just not talk about Satan. Let's ignore him. Let's pretend he doesn't exist, right? We've seen those churches to this other extreme where basically he becomes such a focus and deliverance becomes such a focus that Satan becomes the star of the show. And they're finding demons under every rock and the same people are going up for deliverance week after week. And you're saying, this isn't right. This isn't right at all. What else isn't right is my computer just broke. Woohoo! We're winging it now. Jesus, help us. Jesus, take the wheel. There we are. I think. There There we go. Satan, come out. But in all seriousness, though, we see from God, you know, from, yes, God is good, God loves us, God blesses us, God answers prayer. Two, if I have enough faith, I can rub the Bible, you know, say in the name of Jesus, the Jesus genie comes out and grants me all of my wishes. You know what I'm talking about? I wasn't going to share it, but I will. Early in my career, I was a youth pastor, and two of the kids in my youth ministry, their father got pancreatic cancer. And so, but he was a big word of faith. He had the picture of the sailboat. He was claiming in Jesus' name on his fridge and all this, you know, stuff. And he got pancreatic cancer. And, you know, and some, you know, you pray for healing, but then it sometimes become obvious that's not the direction that this is going. Because I don't know about you, you can have faith. But the same Bible that says that by his stripes we're healed also says it's appointed once for a man to die and then to face the judgment. And I have yet to find anybody on this earth that has so much faith that they've been alive for the past 2,000 years. But the problem was, because he bought into this, this pendulum swung so far, way out of theological safety, that he was in his hospice, you know, so they had the hospice at home, the cancer just riddled his body, and he passed away, never saying goodbye to his children. And his children, their faith was wrecked because the question they had was, did he die because of me? Did I not have enough faith that he died? Was I the one who let him down? So that is why I want to make sure that listen, God is so good and miracles happen and he has given us authority to trample over snakes and scorpions and overcome all the powers of the enemy. And that is an important part of our Christian life. And I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, swing the pendulum too far this way or too far that way. So are you hearing me? Anybody else been in the, you know, charismatic circles long enough to see God's granola, a bowl full of fruits and nuts, right? But that is not, that's not what we want. Nobody want, let's just kind of push it away and let's not talk about it. Let us see what God can do. So we're going to talk a little bit about the armor and the application, because the Bible has a lot to say about spiritual warfare and how we overcome the devil and how we overcome the challenges that face us and how we as believers fight these battles. And we can't cover it all today. But I want to give you some insights, because Bex and I have been going through some challenges lately, and we had to kind of see, how do we actually fight? How do we fight this battle? How do we do that? So I want to share some examples. So it's armor and some practical application. Make sense? Nobody's running out the door yet? Good. All right, so armor. Let's look at this one, a popular scripture. So I'll read it out. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So I just want to dig a little bit deeper into what the Bible is saying here. And hopefully it'll be encouragement to you. So let's break it down. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Isn't it good that he starts this section with an encouragement? Good news, you don't have to fight the enemy alone. Be strong in the Lord. You don't have to fight in your own strength, but you can find strength in the Lord, in his power, and in his grace. James 1:7 says, submit yourself to God then, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we're really, it's good news that no matter what it is, whether it's sin, whether it's bad habit, whether it's an attack of fear, whether it's worry, whatever the situation is, whatever you're fighting, you are not fighting alone. It's you and God against the enemy. And as Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? God, I don't understand what's going on. Doesn't matter. God, it's me and God against that situation. It's me and God against this. So God, we're encouraged in that regard. Put on, verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. Isn't it good that it's not only us, God and us together, but he has given us armor. He has given us, and it says the full armor. Notice the two things that are repeated in here in this scripture. Put on the full armor of God. Stand. Keep standing. Standing against his schemes. Standing and putting on the full armor. That's the main repeated thing here. Because we are not powerless. We're not defenseless. God has given us the tools to have victory over the enemy. The full armor. Listen, the complete set. It would be foolish for a soldier to go out into battle with his sword but leave his helmet and his shield at home, wouldn't it? It'd be foolish. No, no, no. Take the full armor. Take the full set. God has given us defensive weapons and offensive weapons. Take the full armor. Don't leave some at home. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, it's like, you know, don't just pray and neglect the Word of God. Don't have the Word of God in prayer, but neglect truth and righteousness. Oh, you know what? I've gone to church. Oh, yeah, I've heard the story before. That's okay. I can go ahead because I know enough. I'm good enough over here that I don't need to practice personal holiness and righteousness over here. That it's, you know, it's okay if I sin commit over here. If we are to be victorious, we have to have the full armor of God. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, verse 12. But against the rulers and authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Who is our enemy? What's that? The powers of darkness, evil, right? Is it Sister Susie who just ticked me off? No. Is it those politicians? They're my enemy. Not in the spiritual warfare, it ain't. How many of us waste energy fighting the wrong enemy? Trying to fight a spiritual battle through physical, natural forces. No, the bottom line is that 2 Corinthians 2:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds. We do not fight, and we do not want to fight the wrong battle. Listen, you'll be offended in church. The person in church is not your enemy, right? You know, it's hard to love people. You know, pray for those who persecute you, bless those who persecute you, pray for those. You know the scripture. Goodness. Okay, preaching to myself now, need to know the Word of God a bit more. As long as we're fighting the right enemy, we'll have the right attitude toward others, right? That person is not my enemy. The spirit behind that person, the spiritual forces, the deception, the bad theology, the bad ideology, that's the problem. But God loves that person. I'm not fighting against that person. I'm fighting the spiritual battle against the spiritual forces. Verse 13. Therefore, put on the what? Second time he says that, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after having done all, to stand. When the day of evil comes. Remember, as I said earlier, we are all in the battle, right? It's not if the day of evil comes. It's not if bad things happen. It's when bad things happen, when the day of evil comes, when Satan is attacking, when it seems that the fear seems overwhelming, when uncertainty seems paralyzing, when the sickness is severe, we need the full armor of God. We know that these challenges will come. And we need to stand our ground. It says that, I think, twice as well in here. Stand your ground. Standing your ground is actually an active fighting. It's when Satan says, you know, that it was not sitting, it's not retreating. No, it's saying, no, not today, Satan. This is not going to happen. This is not, I'm not having this, because the Bible says something different. This is not in alignment with the Word of God. For example, God is not, you know, when Satan attacks with fear, worry, worst case, it'll never happen. God will never remember. God's forgotten you. No. The Bible says that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. I'm no longer slave to sin. If you're feeling that, oh, I'll never overcome this sin, I'll never be able to get over this spiritual challenge, the Bible says, you know, and you get that lie, say, no, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken me, but what is common to man. And God is faithful. He won't let me be tempted beyond what I can bear, and he will give me a way of escape. God is big enough to help me overcome these challenges. Stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to what? Keep standing. Keep standing. It's stand. So the Bible says, stand and keep standing. Pray and keep praying. Fight and keep fighting. And after you've done everything, keep going. Keep standing. Keep fighting. The battle may be weeks, the battle may be months, the battle may be years, but as we stand in the full armor of God, as we trust God, and we keep standing, keep fighting, the victory will come. Does that make sense? Let's keep going. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. This is so, so important. I think too many people miss this. The belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Walking in the integrity of our doctrine. The truth of our doctrine. The truth in our life. That our lives consistent with the faith that we profess. Integrity of word and deed. Paul in 1 Timothy 4:16 says to Timothy, he's actually talking to a pastor, the leader of the church, right? So even if he needed to hear this, then we do too. Said, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. What he's saying, don't let compromise self-sabotage your victory. How many Christians are sidelined because that cute little pet sin that thought was okay and nobody knows about grew up into a monster that consumed them? Think of how many times the Bible says in Proverbs 11:6, the righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. How many Christians lose the battle by self-inflicted wounds, choosing to let the pet sins grow into devouring giants? Oh, I'm good at reading the Bible. I'm good to, you know, I go to church, but it's okay for me to hold a grudge against Linda because she's really ticking me off. Ugh. Oh, I'm good over here, so I got to get some brownie points, a hall pass to sin over here. So the sin, I think it was 2 Timothy, James, that says that when, you know, that first desire is conceived, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death, leads to death. And so oftentimes I think sometimes what people think, the devil's attacking me because it worked, because my boss has called me in and I'm going to get a reprimand and I might get fired. It's the devil's fault. Well, why is that? Oh, well, a little bit of fraud. I cheated on this. I did that. Why? Because we left our breastplate of righteousness at home. We left the consistency. We didn't watch our life and doctrine closely. But the good news is that by submitting to Christ, by pursuing Him, by His grace and by His power, and resisting the devil, makes our fleshly desires submit to God's will. And His truth and His righteousness protects us from the pitfalls of sin. Isn't that important? That's what, we've got to have our watch our life and our doctrine closely. And the good news is if you're struggling in an area, God is big enough, like I've already talked about, that no temptation will overcome you as you submit to Christ. God is big enough. So I want it to be an encouragement to you guys. If you're struggling in a certain area, if that breastplate of righteousness has got to have one strap falling off and it's, and you're susceptible, let's pray. Let's talk about it. Let's see how God can move in that situation. The belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. What a great protection that is as we submit ourselves to God and live according to His truth. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. God has given us peace that surpasses all understanding, even in the battle. Isn't that interesting that, and this is probably where people see your witness of how you go through the challenges and trials and really low times, deep challenges and pain, but yet there's a peace there. Because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards your heart and mind. And we can have peace even in the battle. Not running away in fear, but peace in the battle. In addition, take up the shield of faith that with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. How important is this one, church? You can picture the old time, the arrows, the flaming arrows coming over and a shield coming up. I've got a question for you. As I said earlier, one of the main weapons of Satan are lies. What flaming arrows is the evil one shooting at you? Oh, God's forgotten about you. God. That's too big for you to be forgiven of. God, you know what? You went up for prayer, you've asked forgiveness, but you're still dirty. What lies? And so it's through the shield of faith that we have that we can hold up to those arrows and say, no. It's the ability to trust God, the absolute assurance. The certainty that God is good, God loves you, God is righteous, and He will keep His word. So when the flaming arrow comes and says, God won't forgive you. Oh, you're dirty. Oh, you know what? Yeah, you forgive Him, but still you need to do some kind of penance for that. And he tries to bring up the past. We hold the shield of faith and say, no, because we know God's character, that He said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Feel free to say amen. Hebrews 8:12, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So Satan says, oh, you're guilty. Oh, you'll never be good enough. Oh, you'll never be. Nope, I'm clean. Hallelujah. And in 2 Samuel 2:22, that God, you're faithful. As a matter of fact, you said to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. God won't forget about me. God will come through. God is good. I can trust God no matter what. It's the shield of faith. Knowing, being able to trust, as he lies to you, oh, he will forget. He forgot about you. He won't come through. He's my provider. I know the God who I serve. And you can lie about Him all day long, but I know who my God is. I know that He is faithful. I know that He is good. And I will not be be deceived by the lies and the flaming arrows of the enemy. This helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Similarly, the helmet of salvation protects our mind, the assurance that God's final salvation and eternal hope. And the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. This is our offensive weapon, isn't it? This is how we take the battle to the enemy. Because Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, it penetrates. This is how, when Satan attacked Jesus with lies, twisting the Bible, oh, did God really say? He took the word of God back to Satan and destroyed him with it. How do we fight the lies of the enemy except for the truth of God's word? It is written. It is written. It is written. This is the offensive weapon. And when we go to prayer, we take the word of God, the promises of God, in context to say, that no, Satan, this is who God really is. This is what God really says. This is who I am in Christ. It is the offensive weapon that we have. And how do we strengthen that faith? It's because through the word of God, we get to know God's character. I love Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The more we get the word of God in us, the stronger we'll be. And finally, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer requests. We battle with the word of God and in prayer. That's how we battle. That's how we fight. That's how we win. And even we don't know how to pray, Romans 8:26-28 tells us that even in our weaknesses, when we don't know how to pray, God helps us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us on our behalf. So do you see, I hope that as we talk about this, that the armor of God thing is kind of making a little bit more sense and how this relates. So how it works, what it's all about, how it can apply to your situation, and the battles that you're facing, and the battles that your family are facing. So then this is what we talked about last week. I'm just going to, 5 more minutes and we'll be done here. The word of God, the character of God, pray and keep praying, stand and keep standing. You know, it's so true that this is, and the word of God, I want to kind of also jump on this here. The word of God is, as I said, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates, right? And this is our weapon. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Psalm 119 says, your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we're going to fight and win, the battle's out there against the evils of the world, against situations, and the battle's in our own hearts against fear, worry, doubt, all these challenges internally, we must be students of the Word of God. We must put in the time, the effort to know the Word of God. Because quite simply, there's no two ways about it. We cannot fight a battle with a sword that we don't have. We cannot be transformed by the renewing of our mind when we leave the Bible out of our mind. We must get the Word of God into our minds to get the worldly thinking out of it. And you think about it, how can we be confident in the Word of God if we're not consuming it? So when Satan tries to come to you, and, you know, just like he did to Eve, just like he did to Jesus, and when Satan asks, does the Bible really say? Say, well, actually, no, Satan, this is what it says, this is what it means. Get thee behind me, Satan. When your coworker says, well, doesn't it say in the Bible somewhere, ... No, it doesn't. You've taken the context wrong, and it doesn't say that at all. What it does say is this. You know, probably one of the most popular ones is, doesn't the Bible say not to judge? Keep reading. It tells you exactly how to judge, exactly to get the plank out of your own eye before you get the splinter out of somebody else's, and to be rightly discerning. Keep reading. And also, when that when a false teacher comes along with some special revelation. Oh, this you'll hear this a lot in discussions. Well, you know, there's so much nuance. We just need to kind of deconstruct and reimagine what Christianity would be like if we just knew the nuance. Nuh-uh. The Bible is very clear. There's no nuance about it. This is what it means. This is what it says. And so as we consume the word, as we get it in us, we have a sword that we can fight with. We know what the context, and this is what we're just kind of touching about briefly, not just by itself, because rather than just kind of getting this one little scripture that we can try to shoehorn into our situation, just keep reading. Read the whole context of it and figure out what it's trying to say. Because there are so many strong promises that we can stand on the promises, like that old hymn says, as we memorize it, as we meditate on it, as we consume the Bible, and the sword that we have is powerful and effective when we get the word into our hearts. Right? So we need to know the context, meditate on it, use it in prayer, as you know, praying the promises of God. And as we do that, we know the character of God, don't we? It's through the Word of God as we see His character, as we see as we study the Word, we ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate our reading. He reveals His character, He reveals Himself, and then we can say, "No, no, God is holy. No, no, God is righteous. No, no, God's compassionate. God will not sin. There is no sin in God. God is faithful. There's no unfaithfulness in Him. There's no lying in Him." And when Satan tries to lie to us, because we know the Word of God, we've studied it, we're reading it, we're bathing in it, or bathing our mind in it, we can be confident as to fight him, to fight Satan, and to trust God, to meditate on his character that will not fail, that will not lie. And just finally, listen, it's not a one and done. This is a lifetime battle with some good times and some bad times, some challenging times, but the bottom line is, as we fight and keep fighting, as we pray and keep praying, as we seek his face, as we know his word, as we put on the full armor of God and let him change us and let him protect us, let him empower us, we will see the victory. Amen?
Amen.
God is good. God loves us. God has not left us defenseless. And so we'll break in a moment, and I think probably we have some food out that way. But if you're going through some challenge and you say, "Look, I need a miracle. I just need somebody to pray with me," come up. We'll pray, and we'll just see what God does, because we believe that God is good, that he is real, he is relevant, and he can impact our lives today. All right? So I'm going to pray, and then if you want to come up for prayer, great. If not, then feel free to go and get some food. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have not left us defenseless. Lord, that you have given us your word. You've given us the armor of God. You've given us your Holy Spirit to walk and to guide us. Lord Jesus, I just pray for every person here that they were encouraged. Lord, that they will fight with your word, will fight with prayer, will fight with the character, Lord, of knowing your character, and that they will stand and keep standing until the victory comes in Jesus' name. Bless every person here in Jesus' name. Amen.